This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker. This is the Michael K. Show.
Here's our general manager, Bobby Marks.
How do you see the Randle situation playing out?
If I was Julius Randle and I was offered 4 years, $106 million, the max allowed extension, I would think long and hard about that. I think if you are basing this year off, you can go out and get $200 million as a free agent in 2022 or $150 million from another team, I think there's a little bit of fool's gold here. He proved certainly in the playoffs he's not a number one guy. I think he's probably a number two to number three guy on a really good team. And if you're the number three guy on a really good team, I don't see yourself getting max type money. You know, you're probably a guy that's going to get between $20 and $25 million here.
The Michael K. Show.
I'm not a good sports talk show host. We all know I'm here by accident.
On 98.7 ESPN.
How dare you, Peter. 404 in the big city. The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. A big game 3 tonight at the Coliseum between the Islanders and the Bruins. That best of 7 series even at a game apiece. So this should be a huge game tonight. And here's the lay of the land. A Don show tonight at 6:30.
Oh, sure.
7 o'clock, I'm going to do an Islander pregame show leading into the faceoff with Chris King and Greg Picker at 7:30. And also, the Islanders are returning home for the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, and you have a chance to score tickets to Game 4 on Saturday. How awesome is that? Game 4 at the Coliseum. Hopefully, if you're an Islander fan, they're up 2-1. Visit NewYorkIslanders.com/ESPN. To fill out an entry form to get ready to bring the noise to cheer on the Isles. All entries must be received by 10 a.m. tomorrow, so get going. That's 10 a.m. tomorrow, so you want to enter soon. Again, visit NewYorkIslanders.com/ESPN for your chance to win. So the Yankees down by 7 with one out in the bottom of the 9th inning, so Michael will join us momentarily as it looks like they're going to split that 4-game series. Mets are in San Diego tonight to take on the Padres. We told you about Game 3 between the Islanders and the Bruins, but all the talk right now is about the Knicks and how they went quietly into that good night. And Peter, you know, Bobby Marks, I think, really nailed some really interesting stuff. He's not sure that any of the three young players in Barrett, Toppin, or Quickley can become superstars, that Randle is probably more like a 3 than a 1 or a 2. But he did say that the talent they have can acquire players, and he threw out two players that could be available this offseason in a trade, Bradley Beal and possibly Damian Lillard. If they go out in the first round, which could be tonight at home against the Denver Nuggets, that who knows, Lillard might want out. And you would not think about trying to bring that kind of caliber player in just so that you can see what those three players can turn out to be. I mean, part of the reason you draft players, Peter, is that those players grow into superstar players on your team. Or you can add or use those pieces to bring in guys. If I got a chance to get Damian Lillard, Peter, I got to try to do it. Now, I'm not saying you got to give up the farm for the guy, but I don't know. Would you give up all three for him?
No. Which three?
This would be Barrett, Toppin, Quickley.
Yeah, listen, it's not ideal, but would this team be better off with just Lillard than those three is the question you have to ask yourself. And Don, I think the answer is yes.
Now, again, that would be best case, that would probably be what you would ask for. You give up two of the three and maybe a pick.
That's
something
what
like
I think.
That.
I think that would be more likely. By the way, you can live though with. Sadly, you can live with losing Quickley if you're getting Lillard.
Right. And again, I'm a fan. Did you watch that game the other night? How would you not want that on your team?
Well,
guy's money.
And it's not over. He has 5 years to do what he does, at least. Yeah, that's probably the fair window. 3 to 5 years to do what he does.
Yeah. And Beal, a little younger, awesome player. So these are the things that they have to decide. I get it. Knicks fans are great. They're tremendous. They fell in love with this team. But look at the teams that win championships, all right? They add. They find. They bring in players, right? Look what the Suns did. They brought in a player, right? Nets, I'm not just talking about the Nets getting three players in free agency. Sometimes you make deals. Listen, I went through the same thing with the Mets. Mets had this great 84 season, Peter, with Gooden and Strawberry. But you know what really put them over the top? The deal in 83 to bring in Keith Hernandez. The deal in 85 to bring in Gary Carter. So even though you've got a young team that's on the rise, you make deals to bring in established players. I liked Hubie Brooks, but they had to trade him away in order to bring in Gary Carter, and that's what helped you win the championship. The Yankees had their core four, but they also got players what they traded for that they signed as free agents to help them win the championship. 2009, right? Yeah, they had Hideki Matsui. Yeah, they had the core four, but they went out and got Johnny Damon. They went out and got Mark Teixeira. They went out and got Alex Rodriguez. So don't look at – see – don't confuse this with building some sort of super team. This is not sitting back and then signing free agents. It's using your draft capital. It's using your young players to make shrewd deals to bring in stars. That's okay, too. There's nothing wrong with that. It's not that to me is how you build a team. That's not super team. That's how you build teams. You make trades. The super team is when you convince free agents to come here or a bunch of free agents get together and say, hey, let's go all and play for that team. Although if that happened with the Knicks, they wouldn't mind either because you'd win a championship. But what's so wrong with making a shrewd deal to bring in a star player? It's not selling out. It's not giving up on your principles.
And it's also not immediately becoming the Nets. There is an in-between. I think we all could agree the Nets would have competed. Now, I listen, Don. I actually believe that Harden may be the best of the three, okay? But we all probably agree that that team would have competed with just Kyrie and KD, and they could have kept Caris LeVert.
Yeah.
And if I'm a Nets fan, I'm the kind of person, for better or for worse, that would have rather had a worse chance at winning with Caris LeVert. That's me, because he was such a part of the team. But so you don't, they could have just stopped there. They went all the way, evil empire, entirely new team. No one's saying the Knicks have to do that. But they do need more.
Yeah. And how do you get more? You get more via free agency, you get more with the draft, but you can also make trades. And those were a couple of attractive players that Bobby Marks threw out there. We don't know if they're definitely going to be available, but he just said those what-ifs. We've been talking about it for weeks now. What the Knicks are going to need is some disgruntled player who wants out. And maybe Damian Lillard will say, listen, I gave my all to Portland here. It's not working out. Getting bounced in the first round every year. I want to go someplace where I get a chance to really shine. We did that whole top five Mona Lisas in a garage.
What? You know,
I could have very easily threw Damian Lillard on that list. I didn't because he's played in big games. We've seen him. But, you know, he plays his games at 10:30. Heck, what better example? He's having this monster game, Peter, the other night. It's on NBA TV.
I know. I had to use my brother's cable password or I wouldn't have been able to watch it.
Right. Meanwhile, TNT's stuck in a miserable Suns-Lakers game that's like a 40-point lead. And yet the game of the night's on NBA TV. Like, LeBron, how often did LeBron in a playoff game play on NBA TV? How about never? And if it happened, it was probably somebody hitting a button wrong. 1-800-919-3776. Let's go to Chan in Ramsey. You're on ESPN New York. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Don, how you doing? I wanted to call you back. I spoke to you a couple of weeks ago before the playoffs started on the Don Show, the big, great Don Show. And I told you that you and the Knicks fans need to slow their roll because they're not going to do that well. And you sort of told me that I was wrong. So I'm calling
right
back to say I told you so.
Feel good. You were dead right and we were wrong.
Right, right. But, you know, they have a chance to get some good players. I disagree. They cannot hold on to these young players and hope that they're going to be better. It won't happen. And they need to make a big splash in the offseason. But I just wanted to say I told you so. So now I feel good.
Well, listen, there's nothing wrong with that, Jen, and you didn't really rub my face in it. Listen, you were right. I remember the call on the Don show, and I don't think I was abusive to you. I just disagreed with you. Hopefully I wasn't a Dave Rothenberg.
No, not at all, not at all. You were very respectable. that's why I'm respecting you back.
Well, and you know what? You deserve it. You were right. You called up. You thought they were going to have trouble, and boy, did they have trouble, and thanks for the call. I'm seeing this thing on Twitter, Peter. I don't know if you saw it. Like, a guy reached out to me that Dave was abusive to him on the air the other day.
No.
Is this becoming the thing?
Oh.
I gotta find it. I want to be able to give the exact situation, but it was, you know, I think
that's,
it was
that's
today.
That's a shame. That's a shame.
That he was, I guess he was upset about the Knicks, and he just, I want to be able to find it.
Listen, I don't believe that he's a monster, okay? But I've heard people say that.
I think he gets a little caught up.
But by the way, Don, we haven't taken one moment to point out that we're seeing each other on Monday.
That's right.
For the first time.
We're doing a special remote up in Connecticut. We'll have the details coming up in a little bit, but
first time, Don, that we've seen any that no, any of us have seen each other.
It'll be the first time I've seen you since March 11th. And Michael would probably be a week before that, because if you remember when the pandemic hit, he was in Tampa. So it's probably like the last time I think I saw him might have been Rothenberg's son's bar mitzvah on March 1st. So we're talking like 15 months.
Wow.
All right, so while I was looking for that tweet, and I'm not sure I'm going to be able to find it, but I hope that I will one day, because completely disrespectful. But I stumbled upon this Ebro tweet.
I know. It's,
you saw it?
Yeah, we talked about it on the air today.
And I want to punch that up, and I want to read that.
Can I tell you that Ebro should just stay in his lane?
Well, Michael, I agree with you.
I mean, really?
Here it is. He tweets incessantly, so something you saw 5 minutes ago could be 20 tweets ago.
You're right.
He's
got an issue.
No, he's a maniac.
But so you saw it too, Michael, right?
Oh, yeah. I laughed at it.
Scoffed.
I mean, really, some nerve.
Well, at the end of the day, he's like, all right, well, the Knicks being out, you should be able to root for – oh, here it is. Since there's no real rivalry, I think it is okay for Knicks fans to support the Brooklyn Nets. Let's discuss.
The calls this morning on this subject were hilarious. I mean, I'll be honest, guys, he's a big Twitter troll. He knew what he was doing. The calls we got were just a resounding go scratch.
I really hate to say this because I'm not a dramatic person, but I think you should walk off the show after that.
That's how strongly you feel.
Yeah, it was such a ridiculous take. So just because there's not a rivalry, the people that root for the Knicks are not going to be rooting for them because they look at the Nets as a fly on their backside. Doesn't mean they're going to root for them.
Yeah, I mean, I think Knicks fans are disgusted by the Nets, and more so now than ever. They never would have pulled for them, but particularly more now than ever. They're not rooting for a super team in their backyard. They're just not.
I think the typical Knicks fan will watch Bucks Nets to root for the Bucks, and if the Bucks win, they will tune out the rest of the playoffs, and if the Nets win, they'll just then root for whoever's playing the Nets.
Called hate rooting.
Yep.
But if the Nets are eliminated by the Bucks or the Sixers or whatever, then I think they'll tune out.
Michael, how did you feel last night during the game?
They didn't show up. I shouldn't even say that. They're not good enough. They're not as good as the Hawks. You want to sit here and rip them, but what this did is exposed us all to the fact that we got hoodwinked into them playing harder than everybody else and winning 41 out of 72 games. And they're not that great. They've got nice components. They've got parts that fit that will work in the regular season, but they don't have a superstar. The Hawks have a superstar. Trae Young's a superstar. Julius Randle's not. And the one guy that had to keep going to, guys, Derrick Rose ran out of gas. He didn't have anything yesterday. Had absolutely nothing. You can't play a guy 32 years old with multiple knee surgeries, you know, close to 40 minutes a game and expect him to have something throughout a long series. They wore him out. I don't blame Thibodeau. He's got to win. But they just didn't have enough. It's not like they choked. If they choked, I'd get mad. If they phoned it in, I'd get mad. They didn't have answers. They just weren't. They weren't as good as the Hawks.
They did.
And I think it does take a lot of the luster away from the regular season.
They did get smacked around, though, Michael. It was. They. Did, I will. I don't know. There wasn't a ton of pride in that performance.
Yeah, but you know, you could have pride, and you still, if you don't have the talent, the pride's not going to do anything for you.
True. That's true.
That's the thing is that they just weren't good enough. They just weren't. And now we spend a lot of time here, Michael, and I know some Knicks fans want us to celebrate the season, and I get that, but you analyze where this team's going to take the next step. And let's be honest, we have to honor what we said yesterday. If they went quietly into that good night, well, then you have a completely different feeling about like what direction this team's going to go. We had Bobby Marks on, Michael. He said he thinks that Randle's more of a three a big-time player. He's not a two. He's not a one. And he didn't think Toppin, Barrett, or Quickly will ever develop into being superstars. But you can use them as trade chips to get a superstar. He brought about the possibility of a Bradley Beal, the possibility that maybe if Lillard gets eliminated tonight or in Game 7 might want out of Portland, something like that. But you can't stay as presently constituted and think you're ever going to get over the hump. So what do they do? There's
yeah,
a lot of work
heavy
to
lifting.
Be done.
They've got a lot of heavy lifting. It's not going to be an easy fix because, you know, the one thing that jumps out at me from watching this series, and we've been saying this all year, and people got mad at us, Julius Randle had one of the best seasons in Knick history.
Yes.
But when push came to shove, he's a three. He's not a magnificent superstar that creates his own stuff. He just can't. He's got to be within the confines of a team so he could be on a winning team. But what this performance eliminates, and I don't put that much stock in a postseason performance. I don't think it erases everything that he did. I'm not giving him an extension. I'm going to pick up his third-year option, see how we go from there. Maybe you use him in a deal. You got to pick up his third-year option because if you make a trade for a big-money guy, you're going to have to add salary in to make it all work. So he could go somewhere else, but I'm not giving him a three-year deal. I mean, we were talking about, you know, should he accept the Knicks' offer of extension? The Knicks shouldn't offer him an extension. You wait another year.
And, you know, Jay Will's point about, well, I know you gotta pay him off his regular season. Well, if you do that, then what you're saying is that what you saw for 72 games is legit. Can you afford to take that chance?
No.
Because in the postseason, Michael, I mean, he was a minus 15 last night.
No, but one thing, though, Don, what we saw in the regular season was legit. But there's regular season great, and then there's ascend to another level in the postseason great. That's when defenses are different. That's when there's no load management. That's when everybody's energy is about the same. No, I think you have to look at the postseason.
But they were talking about max money, OJ Will. And when I say legitimate, Michael, I'm not taking away from his regular season, but you don't pay max money off of a regular season. You pay max money off of what can a guy do in the postseason and help you win a championship. I mean, when you saw those five games, I know it's only five games, but I'm sorry, that's the playoffs.
Well, somebody I spoke to today when I was driving in the morning, I said, well, he's not a max player. And the guy set me straight. He goes, take a look at the max players in the NBA.
Right.
He said, half of them aren't max players. It's when you become a free agent and whether or not they have anybody else. He said, there are certain players in the league like LeBron and Anthony Davis. I don't have to name every great. Those guys are max players, but there are a lot of guys that are not on that stratosphere that get max money because they became free at that point.
Right, and he's not free yet.
Right. That's so why you pick up his option at $20 million.
See, that's it. See, if he was a free agent, you might have no other choice, right, because you don't want to lose him completely. But with a year to play with, then how many of those guys became max players a year before they hit free agency? No, they got max money because they were free agents and the team didn't want to lose them. But the Knicks aren't going to lose them.
Well, we'll break this down further in just a moment because there's a lot to break down. Yankees lose an awful game, 9-2. Yankees are now 6-6, by the way, in the 12 starts Garrett Cole has made.
That's wasting him.
He's wasting him, and in his last four starts, he has not pitched very well. I mean, he hasn't pitched Garrett Cole level, so we'll get into that. Also, time to take a look at this day in Yankee history, brought to you by Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi. So we go back to 1932. In Philadelphia, Lou Gehrig becomes the first player in the 20th century to blast four home runs in one game and barely misses a fifth. The Yankees hammer out a major league record with 50 total bases in a 20-13 slugfest with Philly. And it overshadowed what Tony Lazzari did. He hit for a natural cycle in that game. You know what that is, Don?
That's a single, double, triple, and home run in a row.
Yeah, in that order. And it was actually, the home run was actually a grand slam. And I believe that on that day, John McGraw also announced his retirement as a manager of the New York Giants. So everything got swallowed up. And also on this date in 2003, Derek Jeter named the 11th captain in club history. The others, Hal Chase, Roger Peckinpah, Babe Ruth for 6 days, Everett Scott, Lou Gehrig, Thurman Munson, Greg Nettles, co-captains Willie Randolph and Ron Guidry, and Don Mattingly. That's This Day in Yankee History, brought to you by Woodbridge, a proud sponsor of the New York Yankees. Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi, making classic wine for over 40 years. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you right here on 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
All right, so we're talking about what to do with Julius Randle. Now, there could be a case made if the Knicks feel that he can be a part of something special, whether it's as the second or third guy, they can extend him this year, this offseason, for 4 years, $106 million. And that also includes the $20 million option that they'll pick up. So that gives him 5 years at $126. And in today's NBA, certainly not unreasonable. Now, they wait till after the season, next season, and he has a great year again. Well, then, in order to get 5 years out of him, he gets $201.5 million. So he's making over $40 million a year at that point. So it becomes an unbelievable decision by both parties. Does Randle now worry about where his standing is if he played like that in the postseason and grabs the 4 years, 106, which is essentially $25 million a year, okay? $26 million a year. Or does he gamble on himself and get the 5 years, 201, which means that he would get another $75 million if he waited? And is there going to be a team that would give him a max contract? So that, other than just picking up the option, the Knicks could pick him up at 4 years, 106, on top of the $20 million option and say, tradable. That contract's tradable. And if we don't trade him, then he's a good number three who's not using max money moving forward. That's what they have to decide. That's what he has to decide. Would he take that money? I'm not sure. Now, also spoke to a lot of people in the know, and I don't think that this series surprised the powers that be. Now, they thought they had a chance to beat the Hawks, and Thibodeau loves this team, loves it, loves how hard they play, but they all know there's not enough talent there. And I think Knicks fans kind of got seduced into thinking, oh, we're on our way. And if anything, guys, I don't know if you agree, this could be a nice, solid wake-up call to everybody that was dreaming a little bit too big. You can't dream on this team with this talent. You could dream on parts of it, but they've got to do some serious heavy lifting during the offseason to take the next step and hope that they could find that great player out there who's not going to be available in free agency, but that great player who wants to go somewhere else. So that's what's going to happen this offseason. But they knew it. Thibodeau knew it. Wes knew it. Leon mm-hmm. knew it. Scott Perry knew it. They all knew it. Nice team. Gutty, gritty. They overperformed. But this is not the team that's taking us to the promised land.
And that's okay. Let the fans and the media, they could have gotten it wrong. As long as you know that the power structure there at the Knicks were on point with everything. And I think that's the difference between this team and what we've seen over the last 20 years. I have faith in West and Perry and Leon Rose to do the right thing. So as long as they weren't duped, you know, we could have gotten it wrong. You know, callers, the fans, but as long as they know what Randall is, as long as they know what Toppin, Quickley, and Barrett are, that's all that matters.
Let's go to the phones.
Shall we?
Let's go to Artie in Brooklyn. Artie, talk to us.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. I appreciate it.
You got it.
So, I couldn't believe that the Knicks had this kind of a season because I didn't think that, like you said, they weren't talented enough and Randall surprised me and stuff like that. But I don't want them making the same mistake that they made years ago where trading these guys and then getting talent that'll just get you to a certain level. The Nets went for it because they had Durant and Kyrie. They went for it. If the Knicks could somehow get guys in here without trading all their talent, like if you get Dillard, they're going to be better. Dillard's right there. But are they a championship team with those two guys? If you trade away and you have Randall as the third, is that a championship team? I'm not so sure about that. And
well, who are the two that you're getting, Artie? I didn't hear what you said.
I think he said Lillard and Beal.
I think he combined them to Billiard. Maybe he wants a pool table in the clubhouse. I'm not sure.
But I brought this up before, Michael. All right, yeah. If you brought in Lillard, or even if you brought in Beal for next year, no, they're not winning a championship. No, but those guys are young enough that maybe in a couple of years, you might be able to. Or maybe with those guys, now you're talking about maybe, you know, getting out of the first round and being a legit four. Because right now, Michael, at least going into next year, they're the fifth best team in the conference. And that's hoping that Miami and Boston and Charlotte and Indiana and Toronto don't get better. Because Atlanta's clearly better than you, or so are the Bucks, Nets, and Sixers. But if you make a deal and bring in a star like those two, well, now maybe you're four, maybe you're flirting with three.
Yeah, they're. I think they're looking at being the 6 or 7 team.
Right, which means guess what? Which means there's a chance that they went from being a 4 seed in home court in the first round to now being in the play-in.
Let's go to Pete in Staten Island. Pete.
Yeah, guys, listening to that last caller, he's absolutely right. I mean, listening to you guys, I thank God you guys aren't making the decision for the Knicks because – trading for Lillard and Beal is not going to get you probably even past the Hawks in the first round next year.
Really?
I mean, Lillard, he's been on great Portland teams. He hasn't gotten out of the
he's
first round.
He's a great player. So he becomes your best player.
Is he better than anybody they have,
Sorry?
Pete?
He would be
is
their
he
best
better
player
than anybody that the Knicks have.
But you're giving up all that we worked for. With
we don't even know what you're giving up.
Well, how do you know what we're giving up? You could be giving up first round draft picks instead.
Well, then that would be okay. But no, I am not trading the young players just to get to the second round. Don wants to get into the second round. I don't know. What are you going to do in the second
for
round?
For next year? Wait. Why? So we only live 1 year at a time? These guys are young. Lillard's 30 years old. So
he hasn't
why
done anything with great teams, with pretty good teams, and you want him to come to the Knicks where he's not going to even beat Trae Young next year.
Pete, here's the one deal. He's in the West where there's a lot of teams that are great. If he came to the East, there wouldn't be as many blockades. I'm not saying that you just get him and you change. And I don't know if I want Beal. But if you gave me a chance at Lillard without emptying my roster, how could you say no? He's far and away better than anybody they have.
But why does everybody think that any move you make only counts for 1 year? Yeah, I don't expect that they can acquire anybody next year that's going to win them a championship. But why would I not get a Damian Lillard, and in 2-3 years, when he's only 33 years old, and now maybe the Nets break up, the Sixers and the Bucks aren't quite as good, and now I can win the championship. So why does it have to be about next year? I agree. I don't think they're not winning a championship next year with either of those two guys. But you're telling me that if Lillard's on this team, they lose in 5 games to Atlanta?
No.
That was a wild take.
Do you think with Lillard last night, They've got 72 points with 5.5 minutes to go? Really? Did they not watch the game the other night?
They didn't show. They didn't show in the series. They didn't. Well, they did show. They showed exactly what they are. They're not a great team.
Right, and that means that's why we're talking. That's why we're talking about you don't want to give up the young guys. Okay, don't want to give up the young guys. But if the young guys are not going to become stars, then you have to use those young guys to get stars. And Bobby Marks, you might disagree with him, but he doesn't think any of those three, he doesn't think Barrett, Quickly, or Toppin are going to become superstars. But he thinks that they are movable pieces to get one. But typical, like, with everybody with young players, we want to wait and see. Was it maturity that the reason they lost? Was it overwhelmed by the moment or just not good enough? Now, I understand Barrett's only 20 years old, but is Barrett going to be a number two player in this league when it's all said and done? Is he going to be a number one player when it's all said and done? Is he?
Those guys, okay, could be really important parts of a championship team. But I agree with Marks. They're not superstars. I don't see them being superstars. The only one I think that might have a chance is Barrett. But he has to improve exponentially over the next couple of years. He's a good player. But superstars? I don't even know if Randall's a superstar. Anyway, let's take a quick timeout. 1-800-919-3776. Yankees lose. Mets begin a series tonight against San Diego, which should be interesting. San Diego just got swept by the Cubs, by the way.
Yeah.
Cubs on fire. Team that was supposed to be breaking it down and starting over again. They're very, very much in the playoff picture. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
This portion of the Mike K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. Try Truly Hard Seltzer, 100 calories, 1 gram sugar, 5% alcohol, and 27 different flavors. Truly Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, please drink responsibly. Now we'll be joined momentarily by the Yes Network with our simulcast. You get listening to us right now on 98.7 ESPN. The Knicks lost to the Hawks. While it hurts now, could be a blessing in disguise because it's not going to give anybody false hope. The Hawks have been put together, and the way they were put together, they surrounded who they felt was a superstar with really serviceable, good role players that are not too old. Now, a lot of the Knicks' role players are a little up there in years. So this playoff series showed us Julius Randle is a really good player, but does he fall under the heading of great player? I felt that if they would have won last night and then forced a game six in Atlanta and then lost in Atlanta, I would have felt a lot better about the season. I don't feel as good about the season because losing in such a docile manner to the Hawks, it just really deflated me, and I don't want to take away the 41 wins. I don't want to. Because what they did was they reestablished how important Knick basketball is to the city, and they gave Knick fans reasons to cheer and believe. And the days of the desert are over. But now we know that there's still a lot of climbing to do. This is not the beginning, if you stay and stand pat, of a championship team. It's simply not. The players aren't good enough. And the best player on the team showed that he's not good enough at this point, and he's not a spring chicken. He's going to be 27 years old, so he's not like, you know, R.J. Barrett. You go, well, he's 20, still has a lot to grow. No. Julius Randle should be entering his prime years, so he showed in his first time on the playoff stage, not good. He shot under 30% from two-point. So the last couple of games, the statistics weren't terrible. The first three, they were. The last two, they weren't, but it didn't lead to anything, and also they depended way too much on a 32-year-old Derrick Rose who's been banged up. They played him too many minutes, and he had no spring in his step yesterday at all and couldn't contribute. So the Knicks lost in five games. And, yeah, it does take some of the luster away from 41 and 31. Maybe for Knicks fans it doesn't, but it does for me because I'm looking at it in a stark, realistic way that there's still a lot of heavy lifting left to do.
It's tough to look at it any other way. And I said this earlier to Don, Michael. Like, I think the fans – I'm all about having fans express themselves however they want. If your feeling is one of gratitude that this year exceeded expectations, I'm all for it. If you're pissed off that your team last night really got, I mean, they really got pushed around. After Clint Capela talked trash, and I, you know, believed that the Knicks would be able to step up and at least save face on their home court, they got utterly pushed around. You have the right to be disappointed about that, too. But the one thing for me that's hard to do is, while you can certainly celebrate this past season and the accomplishment, particularly of Randall, Barrett, and Thibodeau, how do you not think about what the next move is? Because you said it, Michael, like, I really liked Randall's attitude yesterday. I don't know if you noticed, Michael, but on Twitter he was getting a hard time. People were really crushing his game, and he wasn't efficient. But I did love the attitude that he brought. He was going to die shooting last night. He was going to do everything, because I'll be honest, their offense looked completely stagnant. It didn't look like they even had a real offensive strategy yesterday. So I like what we saw from Randall as a player overall, but you can't feel great about what happened with your two best players in the playoffs.
No, there's no way to look at it that way. And, you know, again, you can possibly dream some hope and growth for Barrett, because he showed a lot of growth just this year alone, and so did Randall. But Randall's older. I'm not saying he's old, but he's older. Be his seventh year in the NBA, and there's just so much of a ceiling. You can see the ceiling on Randall. I don't know if you could see the ceiling or envision the ceiling with R.J. Barrett, and that's the value of the Knicks' decision-makers and guys like Wes and Leon Rose and Scott Perry. They have to figure it out more so than fans. Fans could fall in love all they want, because the front office has to make hard decisions. Like, if you love R.J. Barrett and they don't think he's going to be great, they have to trade him and not worry about what you think. And if you fell in love with Julius Randle because he had one of the best regular seasons in Knick history and you don't think he's part of the answer moving forward, then you, without any compunction whatsoever, just cut the cord and let, you know, trade him. You can't let emotions play into this. It's a cold, hard business. They've got to make those tough decisions, and I think that, again, this series could be a blessing in disguise. Let's not get hoodwinked into thinking they're better than they are, because everything fell perfectly for them. We hope, wow, I hope that they get the fourth seed, so then they play the Hawks, and then they have the seventh game in Madison Square Garden. There was no seventh game. There was no sixth game. So they got the matchup that they wanted, the one matchup that they could win, and they got waxed. That tells you a lot about where they are. And I think I've used this comparison before. If you're starving and someone serves you Spam, you're going to think you're eating at Peter Luger's. But if you haven't been starving and somebody serves you Spam, you're going to realize it's Spam. Now, I'm not saying that the Knicks are Spam, but the Knicks fans are so desperate to watch even competitive basketball that's not embarrassing. What they got this year sent them into convulsions. Yeah. And now I think they realize, okay, that was fun, but it's not exactly where we want to end up.
And they love this team, so they don't want to see anybody go. But you've got to make changes if you want to be great. And I'm not talking about changes for next year. I'm just talking about for the long range of it. You know, when we had Bobby Marks on, he said there's a lot of work to do, and that's a good thing. And what I took from that quote, Michael, was, you know, in the past, they weren't even on the road. So we didn't know what path to take, because they were stuck in a ditch. Now they're on the road, and now they could take a path to where they need to go. And if they make the right decisions, they'll get there. So whether it's using the pieces to make a trade, waiting out to get the right free agent, they've got a path. They just got to make the right decisions. Because you know how I know Knicks fans aren't going to be satisfied with just making the playoffs and winning around? Because they weren't 20 years ago when they were doing that. It gets old quick. So right now you love the fact that this team won 41 games, probably would have won, you know, close to 50. It had been an 82-game season, right? And they were a four seed and had home court advantage, and you love that because it's literally the first time you've seen it in 8 years. But, Michael, you were around. You were covering the team. As fun as it was to be around Madison Square Garden, didn't it stink that they kept coming up short? So, yeah, this is fun this year. But if I tell you the next 3-4 years are going to be exactly like this, it's going to get old. And I'm telling you, if you stay pat, that's exactly what the next 3-4 years are going to be. Playoffs, occasionally win around, and not be an elite team. But if you make the right moves and you make some sacrifices, it doesn't have to be like it was 20 years ago, where you were Cinderella all the time. You're the bridesmaid all the time. Maybe you can get to a point where you can be where the Nets, the Bucks, the Sixers, where they are, where you're competing for the one seed and literally have a chance to win a championship. Because the way you are right now, you're still not close.
Let's put it this way. There are 15 players on this Knicks team that just lost to the Hawks. I'd say that next year's roster will probably have 9 to 10 new players on it. That's how drastic it's going to be. Mm. They will. Some guys are going to want to get paid and coming up pretty decent years, and the Knicks will realize, well, they're not really the type of players that are going to put us over the top, and they'll make the decision to cut loose. They don't have bird rights on a couple, so they're not going to blow through money on them. It's going to be, I think, the guys that you'll see will be Barrett, Quickley, Toppin. I think Mitchell Robinson will be there. I'm not sure about Randall. I don't know if Randall has to be part of a deal in order to make money work if you have a big, you know, big star player. I think they'd rather keep him and keep him in a different role than the number one option. But I think there's going to be a huge turnover. They did what they wanted to do this year. They changed the perception of the Knicks around the league and with the players. They made the playoffs, which was job number one for Thibodeau. And now they can be attractive to players that are unhappy where they are. And if they get to a free agent situation where they're people that they like, they've got a chance now. They have $60 million in cap room. They have 2 first-round draft picks this year. Things are looking up. Don't be down because you lost to the Hawks. But really, I want you to realize what you saw. It wasn't an aberration that they lost. It was real life. They're not a great team. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Kevin in Greenwich. Kevin.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Just want to talk about the Knicks. I mean, you guys alluded to it perfectly. We got pumped in this round, and our offense looked pretty stagnant last night. People standing around. It didn't seem like anyone was really driving to the hoop, and if they did, they were dishing it off. Now, look, we obviously need something in the offseason. We need a big free agent, and I'm kind of worried that we're just kind of calling it out, like, oh, we got to get Damian Lillard. Oh, we got to get this person. I just hope West and Thibodeau, they don't go for someone like Lonzo Ball and give him 4 years, $20 million a year, or Kelly Oubre, you know, $15 million for 2 years. Like, we need that top-tier free agent, whether we trade for him or whatever, Donovan Mitchell, Dame Lillard, but we need that number one, that pure number one, and I'm just afraid that, like, we go for, like, a Lonzo Ball or Kelly Oubre. Like, well, we can't settle for that.
I'm intrigued by you, Kevin. Well, why don't you want Lonzo Ball? I mean, you'd be improving the point guard position.
Well, yes, you know, you're absolutely right. That is an improvement. But, I mean, just look at the way we played. I mean, is Lonzo Ball going to take us to the next level? Yeah, we might win a first-round matchup. But look at the East. You know, the Celtics, they're probably going to get better. We got the Nets. Who knows what the Pacers are going to do? Even Charlotte, you know, they're upcoming. So, yeah, Lonzo Ball, Kelly Oubre would be nice. But we need someone bigger and better. And I just hope they don't drop the ball.
Oh, I agree. But, Kev, here's the deal that you have to – I don't think they'll drop the ball. I think they're smart basketball men. But – you can only acquire what's out there. So in terms of a free agent, you look at what you have, and if you like Lonzo Ball, you go get him. And a trade market, well, then you're going to have to give up some assets. You're going to have to give up first-round draft picks and things like that. So if all you could get is Lonzo Ball and you want to make an incremental improvement, then you do that. Because just because you want Damian Lillard, if you can't get him, does that mean, okay, I'm going to stand pat? And I'll bring back Elfrid Payton to be my starting point guard? No. And what this playoff series showed you, you can't have Derrick Rose as a starter. You bring him back as a guy off the bench, a glue guy, a guy that Thibodeau loves and can preach what Thibodeau is teaching. That's how you bring him back. But if you're going to bring him back as your starting point guard, you're in trouble. There's no way. You can't. You just can't. Let's go to Jason in East Northport.
Hey guys, how are you?
Hey, Jace.
So really quickly, I was at the game last night, and you know, the energy was sucked out of the building pretty quickly. Unfortunately, I think it basically came down to two things: we had no answer for Trae Young, and then we also had no answer for Clint Capela either. I mean, I don't know how much of it you watched, but he dominated on the boards. It was just one alley-oop after another. There's nothing that they could do to stop him. And ultimately, you know, I figured the Knicks would win in 6 or 7, but it became pretty clear pretty early on that the Hawks are just the better all-around team. It didn't matter if it was Collins or Herter or Bogdanovich. They had people that could shoot from everywhere, and we just could not.
Were you able to feel it in the building when the game started with the Capella alley-oop jam and then a Trae Young floater and Randall mishandled it? Like, was there already nerves in the building?
Yeah. It didn't really take too long for the air to kind of let out. I mean, they were only down by 5 at the half, but, I mean, it felt like it was more than that. So, I mean, you know, it was fun to be in the building. I wasn't expecting it to – I felt relaxed, even with all those people around, because I haven't been around that many people in a long time. You know, so there was a lot of energy, but it was not like it was in Game 2, that's for sure. Game 2, you could tell that the crowd was crazy. It did not get like that in this game. And if I could just make one other point, the league has got to do something about Trae Young and the flopping. Because, I mean, again, look, I don't know how much you were watching, but there's barely any contact so often. And he
but, Jason, why are they going to stop Trae Young when LeBron James has made a living out of it? Either the officials don't get duped, why would you stop? If it works, why would you stop it? Fans are upset when it's against their team. It's the officials that are being duped. The officials should officiate better. LeBron James does it all the time. You nudge him, he acts like he's shot, and people get mad at it. Why? It works. If it didn't work, he wouldn't do it.
Yeah, and another reason why you want to have stars, because Trae Young's now at that level where he might get the benefit of the doubt. Certainly LeBron James is.
Speaking of Trae Young, you know it was brutal last night, guys? Were you watching the final minute?
Yeah.
Yes.
And the crowd finally, you know, they were weighing whether or not they would give them the proper ovation. Boom, they do. They start the ovation. And 10 seconds into the ovation, Trae Young hits a 30-foot three. It was just – it was ugly last night, man.
Hey, there. You know, I hate talkers. I hate yappers. But, boy, they talk the talk, and then they walk the walk. Like you said, that Capella alley-oop right out of the box. The guy that talked all that smack walked into your building, first play, bang. All right, 36 points from Young. Like, so they – Michael, I'm not condoning it because I hate it. But did Capella say that because he knew the Knicks were dead? He knew that they weren't going to respond.
I think he said it because he knew that they could beat him.
Right.
I think they knew they had all the answers. But if you're a Knicks fan and you want to feel good about things, know this. Leon Rose tried to get Bogdanovich and tried to get Gallinari. They know what they need. Those were two shooters that they needed. That would have opened things up a lot more for everybody else if they had those three guys that could bury three-pointers. And, boy, the Nets would be really nervous if Bogdanovich ended up with Milwaukee like it was supposed to happen. By the way, speaking of the Nets, later in this hour, we're giving away Net tickets. Nets Bucks. Sometime this hour, so stick around. Let's go to Steve and Merrick. Steve.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great. You?
Good. Mike, a point on your analogy, if Peter Luger's is the number one seed, the Knicks will not stand at number four. We're talking Del Frisco's. We're talking Keene Steakhouse. To compare their season to Stan is just not accurate. This was objectively a successful season from them. And
yeah, but wait a second. I look at this season after what they did in the playoffs as more the Ponderosa. They're not Del Frisco's. That was not a Del Frisco's performance.
But you enjoy the Ponderosa.
I enjoy all steak. If you give me Sizzler, coupons, I'd love it. But to say that they were Del Frisco, well, first of all, Del Frisco to me, I think is actually better than Peter Luger's, although I don't want to start a war here. But
no.
The bottom line is this, man. The Knicks had a nice season, but I think it was exposed in the postseason that it was a little bit of, as David Cohen would say, eyewash. They played harder than everybody else in a league that they don't play hard every single game. And Thibodeau prepares for each game as if it's the seventh game of the playoffs. And other coaches don't do it. And they took advantage of it. And the Knicks got a lot of teams sleeping. Good for them. They took advantage of it. But to say they were Del Frisco's? They weren't even Del Frisco's grill.
He was being Captain Literal Man. I mean, spam works in the analogy. It's like the Eddie Murphy with the Ritz cracker. You know, you were salivating over it because over the last 7 years you missed the playoffs. It had been 8 years since you went to the playoffs. this was a special season. You almost doubled the win total that Vegas thought you were going to have. But in the grand scheme of things, it's a very – when you compare it to your own history, it is. It's Del Frisco's. But in the NBA, hey, the Celtics had the same season, and now they're looking for a new president. Right?
Yeah.
You know, because
and I understand. When I said that earlier, Don, people came after me. Oh, it's totally different. It's totally different. Okay, fine. You want the Knicks to be held to some sad standard that they're not expected to be great?
See, that's the point, is that that's why Michael's analogy was spot on. It is spam. Because, but to you, it's a lot. But this is the New York Knicks, maybe one of the most popular teams in the NBA. All right? Everybody loved them. Everybody was drunk over what they've been able to accomplish this year. But in relatively speaking to the rest of the league, it's a very pedestrian season. 10 games above 500 and basically almost getting swept out of the first round is not what you aspire to be. So enjoy it. It was great. It was fun. We love the ride. But it ended up being a lot shorter than we thought, and now you got to build on it. I'm telling you, you think we're having this – let's say they have the exact same season next year, 10 games above 500, 4 seed, losing 4 or 5 games of the first round. You think everybody's going to be talking about how magical that is?
No.
No. So that's the point, is that we now need to take that next step. And right – and I believe – and I could be wrong. I was wrong about this series. I'm wrong a lot. I think if you don't – if you leave this alone – you're a heck of a lot closer to the play-in than you are a 1, 2, or 3 seed.
Peter,
and there's a very good possibility that you're playing, you know, in the play-in after the year before having home court advantage in the first round.
Peter, are my sources accurate that you are on the Pat McAfee vehicle today?
That's right. What sources do you have?
I've got a lot of sources.
Sure I was.
So you're really pushing this album, aren't you?
Why wouldn't he?
I am pushing as hard as I can. Yeah, that sounds good. I was on with Pat McAfee today.
That's a big show.
Yeah, I'm on Good Day New York on Monday.
Woo!
I'm on the Michael K show every day. Ebro in the morning tomorrow.
So you're going to stay on Ebro after a ridiculous comment about Net fans and Knick fans?
I got to tell you, it turned into a very funny topic, I must say. It was actually quite good.
That's Ebro should just stay in his lane.
No, it was funny. Just hearing people call up and how little they were willing to budge, it was great. It allowed me to.
Does Mr. Ebro realize that on your show in the morning, mm-hmm. Kevin Durant came on and said that the Knicks were like, what, a second-class organization? Or they weren't cool, right?
They weren't
yep.
cool.
Right. So yep. on that same show, the namesake of the show says, well, maybe Knick fans and I will root for the Nets. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, Ebe.
Well, see, well, you should have stopped there. Does Ebro realize? No, he doesn't.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you think Ebro remembers if that happened? The right. answer is no.
But you didn't have to say anything after realize. Does he realize? No, he doesn't.
He did. If I told him, I was like, remember when Kevin Durant came on the show? Actually, during the conversation, Rich Kleiman called in today.
Really?
He did. He's a Knicks fan who roots for the Nets. And by the way, you'll be disgusted to know, he has no issue with Knicks fans rooting for the Nets. He said he roots for the Jets and the Giants. He's a Mets fan, but he pulls for the Yankees.
Might
He's
be
that
a
guy.
Lost cause, my G.
Wait. Right. This is Kleiman?
Yeah.
No, okay. I'll play along.
What's wrong with him, too?
Clown shoes!
Well, because he's an agent.
Well, yeah, No. They get mad. Business associate.
All right, business associate, whatever.
Let me tell you. If I was Rich Kleiman, guess who I'd root for? The Nets.
I don't know, but, you know, I shouldn't talk because my ice picks have been brutal, but he came on during the championship weekend in the NFL, went 0-4.
0-4. Solid 0-4. Not even close. Not even close.
Did
yeah.
he?
Yeah.
0-4. You don't remember that?
Yeah. Flexing 0-4.
I was so busy. He flexed after every pick.
Being perfect.
I don't think he's been on since.
He thought he actually spoke like he was doing you a favor giving these picks.
Yeah. Oh, here's free money. Anyway, let's take a brief timeout. We've got a lot to do. A lot of people to aggravate. We're here for you. We'll hear from Garrett Cole as well, ENN, and then a very special edition of Blossom, or as we call it, the Don Show, which will also be a TV vehicle. It's amazing how the people at Yes love you, Don.
Well, I appreciate that.
They really do. I think you really impressed them when you did the baseball game, how you prepared. And that's kind of the same reason they fell out of love with Peter.
Well, you know what? You prepare. You're doing play-by-play for the New York Yankees on their television network. The least I could do is prepare.
Yeah, some people didn't feel like that. Anyway, we'll come back in just a moment right here on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, it's time now for the Truly Hard play of the game, brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. Now, this is more or less pitches rather than plays, but it was a strange strike zone by the home plate umpire in the Yankee game today, Chad Whitson, and Gerrit Cole was not getting the same calls as Yarbrough. Now, the balls that Gerrit Cole threw were balls, but the balls that Ryan Yarbrough threw, also balls called strikes. So Gerrit Cole was asked if he had an issue with the questionable calls. Here's Gerrit.
It's a tough question to answer. I think that when it's all said and done, there's too many fastballs above the zone that had, you know, an opportunity to press the corners. And that was probably the pitch I was most consistent with, missing large. And, you know, commanding that better maybe doesn't make some of the questionable calls quite so magnified. Maybe I put myself in a better position there. You know, but as players, we just try to control what we can control. And, you know, however frustrating it may be, just try not to let it affect you. And, you know, I was just trying to do my best at that today.
So Gerrit Cole takes the high road, and that's a Truly Hard play of the game. Brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. Try Truly Hard Seltzer. 100 calories, 1 gram sugar, 5% alcohol, 27 different flavors. Truly Hard Seltzer, beverage company. Please drink responsibly. I think everybody who listens to this show knows what I think about Gerrit Cole. He's one of the great Yankee free agent signings ever on a team that's had a lot of great free agent signings. He gave up 5 runs today. I think Jacob DeGrom's given up 4 runs all year, which is incredible. Absolutely incredible. I've had a moment during the break, guys. Anybody, okay, who has a problem with what I'm about to say to go jump in a lake. All right, so I have stayed away, and Don knows it. I've stayed away from going on Cameo because I'm afraid of the people that will criticize somebody who makes a decent living, you know, going on Cameo and cashing in on people wanting messages done. And then I just saw on Twitter that George Foreman, who made the amount of a small third world country from the grills, right? He's on Cameo for $800 a pop. So if George Foreman can be on, I'm going on.
You've said this before.
No, I am. And when it says on the Cameo thing, request $800, that means it's $800, right?
Oh, yeah.
You make a video. And what it means, direct message $9.99.
That means you can text back and forth with the person. Not you with your number, but through Cameo.
See, that's where I drew the line.
You didn't want to do that.
That felt too much.
$800. So how much do you get, Peter, for a Cameo?
$50.
And Don, what's yours? 25?
25.
So George Foreman has more money than most third world nations is doing Cameo. So that's changed my mind.
I mean, listen, I'm sure he did pretty well in his fight career, too.
But if he never fought once, just what he made from the grills.
It's just the grills. It's true.
All right, let's go to the phones.
I think we should.
Let's go to Mike in Brooklyn. Michael.
Yeah, how you doing, guys?
Great. You?
I'm doing good, man. I was just thinking while I was on hold. I had a chance to meet you in person a few times. And Don, not Peter. But I'm a big fan of Peter's, though, as well.
Thank you.
I run in the same circle. I'm a big fan of Peter because if we run in the same circles, I was a fan of List with Robin, his homeboy from Maryland. So I'm really indebted to you all. And the one thing I want to say about Don and Michael, they're better in person than on the radio. I met you guys. You guys wow. got a lot of love, man. Y'all showed me a lot of love, and you got a lot of love to spread. So I want to put that out there for people who never met you guys.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That's nice. I do have a lot of love to spread.
So, you do. You do. But I want to just talk about, just put my thing out there with the Knicks. Everybody's talking about Damian Lillard or getting some superstar. These guys cost $44 million, which is like half the Knicks cap. The Knicks have, everybody has to be practical. And my practical trade, everybody put their 2 cents in, this is mine. The Knicks have to trade for D'Angelo Russell, who's a point guard, and he's young. He's in his 20s. He fits what the Knicks are doing with the young, and Karl Anthony Towns, a center that they need as well. So if they can trade Mitchell Robinson, Kevin Knox, Ntilikina, Payton, and some other guys, maybe some draft picks, we can get those two. We can get 2 for $60 versus 1 for $44.
Well, Mike, you've certainly put a lot out there. You propose to give to the Timberwolves everybody you don't want for Karl Anthony Towns, who, right. by the way, doesn't seem like he likes Tom Thibodeau. I would like D'Angelo Russell too, but he makes a pretty decent amount of money. Don't be concerned somebody makes $41 million. The Nets have three guys that make max money. Those that know how to maneuver the cap, I don't think they're going to be running any telethons for Jim Dolan. The Nets could handle it. If the Knicks do it the right way, they can handle it. But the package that you just proposed, Frank Ntilikina is probably not going to be a Knick. Alfred Payton's not going to be a Knick. You want to trade them to the Timberwolves for those two great players? Well, what do you think, A-Rod's dumb? No. Why would the Timberwolves do that? Yeah, I would take those two.
I love fans. They think trades are graded by bulk. Right, the more players you throw in, the more attractive it's going to be. But if none of those players are what the team wants, they could be 100 players. What does it matter? These aren't oranges. You're not buying by the pound. it's got to be players that they want. Heck, I mean, I'm not even sure when you start talking about the Quickleys and the Toppins and the Barretts whether that could be enough to get Damian Lillard.
No, I don't think it is. Let's go to Josh in Jersey. How about Josh in Jersey? Alliterative and fun. Hey, Josh.
Hey, Mike, Don. How you guys doing?
Great. What's
up? Okay, great. You know, I wanted to tell you guys, I'm a big Nets fan, born and raised in Jersey, like the real deal from the beginning, down through all the bad days. And
all right,
one
love
thing
it.
That irks me, I'm not one of these fans. Yeah, I mean, listen, what can I tell you? Down through all the 12 and 70 years, sitting courtside for $10. We had our fun. But, you know, one of the things right now that kind of irks me, though, is I am not one of these fans that pretends that we're going to be the Knicks, that we are the Knicks. I know my place in this town, just like a Jets fan, just like a Mets fan, and I realize we're even lower than them on the comparison. But in a sense, I've been sitting here since about 2009 listening to call after call on how the Knicks are going to get this star and that star and LeBron's coming and this one's coming. And for the most part, they didn't come. And what's been irking me is the holier-than-thou attitude that a lot of Knicks fans have of, oh, well, if you win the championship, it's not your championship. Are you telling me right now that if the Clippers lose, Kawhi Leonard opts out, Kawhi Leonard signs with the Knicks, and Giannis isn't happy because, let's say, he loses the Nets in the second round and wants to come to New York, and you trade 4 picks and R.J. Barrett for him. Knicks fans won't be dancing in the streets. We're not doing anything. This is the NBA now. Look at the Lakers. Look at the Clippers. Look at what the Miami Heat did with LeBron. I mean, everyone's trying to make a super team. Is it a little unfortunate that's the way the league is going? Yeah. Would it be more fun if you're the Mavericks or the pre-Kevin Durant Warriors? Yeah. But you're here to win a championship. I'm not going to apologize for Mike getting
no, you shouldn't.
Darn, like, right. And you know what? If the Nets don't win the finals, shame on them. If they do, you better believe we're going to be happy with it. Is it going to be 90% as opposed to the 100% if they would have built it a different way? Maybe. But at the end of the day, this is how the league is done. And just that's one thing that irks me. Knicks fans, if you would do the same exact thing, you would take it and run. If it's Damian Lillard, Kawhi Leonard, Giannis.
Oh,
he was rolling.
I'll tell you what, though. I was about to tell him he should get into radio. He made his points beautifully.
No,
nice
he was terrific. Listen, if there's a Knicks fan that could push a button and say, win a championship as presently constituted, or win a championship with a super team, they would rather win with the team they have now, obviously.
Right.
But if given the choice of keeping this team and being one and done or two and done for the next decade or be a super team, they're hitting the super team to the point that they wear the button out. Come on.
Well, here's what Knicks fans are that are criticizing the Nets, all right? They're the guy that's watching a guy date a supermodel. And they go, why would you want to date a supermodel? Not real. They're not real people. And then all of a sudden the supermodel starts going out with you. You're fine with it then. Then it's terrific.
Don, Michael, how long have you been doing the show?
20 years.
And how long before that were you writing?
5 or 6 or 7, something like that. Yeah.
So in 30 years of journalism
Brilliance.
Work,
yeah.
That was the smartest thing you've ever said. Number one.
Wow.
It is exactly that. It's like, oh, you know, I can't believe it, man. He got rich and now he's with some supermodel, man. He really should have been with the around the way girl that he knew from high school. That's the right way to be. That's how I want it. And then all of a sudden you make a few bucks and a supermodel shows up at your house and says you want to go out. Are you slamming the door in her face?
No.
Now, I am with the people, though, who say I would rather them. Now, how do you feel about this point, Michael? I said this earlier to Don. Don't you think there's some middle ground between where the Knicks are now and what the Nets did? Like, the Nets could have been competing for a championship without the Harden trade. They could have kept Karras and kept a little bit more of the team intact.
They could have, but it wouldn't have been a sure thing, so you want the sure thing. And the way it is now with the Knicks, because now they're a 41-31 team, they're not getting a lottery pick. So I don't think you could build a championship team without doing what the Nets did. You're going to have to go big on a disgruntled player or a free agent. You can't wait for R.J. Barrett to be 25 years old and hope that he becomes a superstar and hope that you get, with a 15th pick some year, Giannis Antetokounmpo. So that's the only way to build a great team, I think. Or you could tank like the Sixers. So where the Knicks are right now, they're in that nebulous state where 41-31 and 80, you know, maybe 48 wins over an 82-game season, they're never going to get that pick where they're going to get that game changer, the Zion Williamson. When they had the chance, they got R.J. Barrett. They got R.J. Barrett with the third pick. Nice player, but he's not a game changer. Zion Williamson's a game changer. John Morant is a game changer. They missed out by one. All right, we'll come back. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.